Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Indeed, he is risen. Isn't it nice to have the alleluias back? For the entirety of the Lenten season, the alleluias have been gone. Because during the Lenten season, we were journeying with our Lord Jesus Christ through the wilderness of the world, following him on his path to Jerusalem and to the cross which he would bear, the cross upon which he would die, the cross upon which he would carry away the sins of all the world. Good Friday, we heard about his suffering and his death under God's wrath in our place, in our stead, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Yesterday, Holy Saturday, we began in darkness, and then we celebrated in light the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We did so again at the sunrise service this morning, and today we have the full festival service with full-throated, joyous alleluias, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But the first Easter Sunday morning did not start with an alleluia. Instead, it began with sorrow. It began with grief. It began with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bringing spices to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body. You see, they weren't coming with an alleluia in their hearts. They were coming in sorrow, heavy laden, because their master, their rabbi, had been betrayed and sentenced to death on false charges and crucified as a criminal by the Romans and then laid in the tomb. Laid in the tomb just as the Sabbath was beginning, so there was no time to properly anoint his body. So here it is, very early on the first day of the week. The sun has just risen. They go to the tomb. They are no doubt talking about the awful things that have happened to Jesus, the unexpected things. They had hoped that he was the Messiah of Israel, just as the disciples had hoped. And yet he was dead. He was buried. The proof of that is the spices that they brought with him to anoint his body. Among other things they talked about was, how in the world are we going to roll away that stone from the entrance of the tomb? We can't do it. Who's going to do it for us? Because the stone was very large. It was bigger than a millstone. But when they got there, they saw unexpectedly that the stone had been rolled back. They had free access to the body of Jesus. And so they entered the tomb and they saw there something that surprised them, something that alarmed them, something that would change the course of the entirety of human history. The tomb was empty. And sitting on the right side of the tomb, there was a young man, an angel, dressed in a white robe. And as always, when an angel appears in the scriptures, the first thing the angel says is, "Fear not. Fear not. I come to bring you tidings of great joy," the angel announced to the shepherds in Bethlehem's fields the night Jesus was born. So the angel said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was crucified." There is identity between the Jesus who suffered and died on the cross and the one who was buried. The angel continued on. "He has risen. He is not here. See, look, the place where they laid him. Do you see a body? Do you see the body of your beloved Lord and Master? No, he is not here. He is risen. But you women, go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you, just as his word announced. And what did the women do? Again, there was no Alleluia. There was no Hosanna. Maybe there was a Lord have mercy or two. But we're told that the women went out and they fled from the tomb. They didn't go merrily skipping on their way. They didn't walk calmly away from the vacant tomb. They fled. They fled as if from something terrible, something overwhelming, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for despite the angel's words, and despite the assurance of the Lord before his death that he would rise again on the third day, they were afraid. Trembling and astonishment at something greater than they could comprehend. Trembling and astonishment that gradually gave way to faith that indeed Christ had risen in his body from the dead. He later appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. He would later, that very evening, appear to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He would appear to the disciples in the upper room, and he would commission them to go forth and proclaim forgiveness of sins. Whosoever sins you absolve, they are absolved. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. He would appear to doubting Thomas. In the epistle for today, we have Paul's list of all those to whom our Lord appeared. Cephas, that is Peter, to the 12, that is the disciples. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers, 500 believers at one time, most of whom are still alive. You can ask them if you don't believe it. It wasn't a mass hallucination, it was real. Then he appeared to James, his brother. And James had doubted him. James was not present at the crucifixion of our Lord. James could not believe that his half-brother was God in the flesh, God the Savior, the Messiah, come into the world to redeem us all from sin and death. And then he appeared, Paul says, last of all, as to one untimely born, to me. Paul went forth and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, not with trembling, not with astonishment, because he knew that Christ had indeed risen from the dead. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was on his way to Damascus to take Christians into custody and bring them back to Jerusalem where they could be tried. But our risen Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul/Paul fell from his horse. He was blinded by the majesty of the Lord whom he had persecuted in persecuting his church, and he was led to Damascus, where a believer came and prayed for him. And thus Paul began to proclaim the gospel of Christ, not merely crucified, but also resurrected. In the face of persecution that he endured himself, Paul proclaimed this Jesus, crucified and resurrected. In the face of shipwreck, Paul continued to proclaim Christ and him crucified. In the place of indifference, Paul continued to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He faced stoning. He faced plots against his life. He indeed died by the executioner's axe. And when he died, for the sake of the Lord and for the gospel, I am quite convinced that he didn't do so with trembling and fear, that he didn't do so with astonishment, because it was common for Christians of the day to suffer many things for the sake of the Lord, just as it's becoming increasingly common today. No, I am quite confident that Paul died with an alleluia upon his lips. For as he said, it is far better to depart this world, to depart this body of fleshly weakness and decay, and to be in the Lord's presence. It's because of the risen Jesus that you can sing Alleluia today. It's because Christ's resurrection is the assurance that you have been justified from all of your sins. God has declared you righteous because Christ has completed his work of your redemption. And it is because of Jesus himself that you can approach your own death with an Alleluia, and that you will rise again on the day that he returns. And then will be fulfilled for you the words of the reading from Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. Notice the tangible things here, the things that can be touched and tasted and eaten, the things that can be seen and felt. You see, this is a reminder of the physicality of the resurrection, the fleshiness of the resurrection. We will not be just spirits floating around in a void. We will be embodied. We will be glorious, just as Christ's resurrected body was glorified. We will be like him, yet without sin. And God will swallow up on this mountain on the day of the resurrection of all flesh the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Death seemed to swallow up Jesus Christ. But guess what? Death had to spit Christ out of his mouth, because Christ, God in the flesh, was mightier than death. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The tears that you have cried and wept will be no more. God will comfort you, because through your baptism into Jesus, you are God's own dear beloved people. For Jesus' sake, the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. Increasingly, Christians are being hated and despised and persecuted and martyred for the name of Christ. And yet that reproach will be taken away, and all creation, all of humanity, will be seized with trembling and astonishment when Christ returns. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And those who persecuted the church, those who disbelieved the gospel message, will be stricken with trembling and astonishment as the Lord comes in judgment for those who do not believe. But for you and me, it will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let us be overflowing with alleluias, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now the women came to the tomb expecting a body, but there was no body there. No body, not nobody. They fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. But you, dear friends in Christ, you are privileged to approach this altar today to receive the very body of the crucified Lord who died for you to reconcile you to God. You come to this altar today to drink of the blood shed for you, the blood of the New Testament shed for the forgiveness of your sins. You know where to find Jesus in this world, at the font, in the pastor's absolution, in the preaching of the gospel, and most importantly, in the sacrament of the altar. That is why we bow, we reverence the altar as we approach. You aren't paying honor to me. I'm a mortal, blasted sinner full of death and sin. But we honor the Lord who was crucified for us and who gives us his very body and blood in this sacrament for the forgiveness of sins. So no wonder we sing alleluias in the church. No wonder we have joy and hope in the midst of a world of suffering, a world of darkness. For, and join me on this, Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.